Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the word of God. And we love your word. We love your son. Holy Spirit, we love your presence. We ask you now, even as we look at this significant subject concerning the end times, that you would give living understanding to our heart. You would give strength to our spirit and bolster our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. In this class, we're looking at class or session number 13 in a 24 class series on the study in the end times. And in this particular class, we're focusing on what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. Now that's seems like a strange term, but it's used by Daniel four times, and it's used by Jesus two times, once in Matthew and once in Mark. And we're going to look at it at the end of the day, at the bottom line, what it is. It's very pertinent to hear in the International House of Prayer. What it is, it's the counterfeit worship movement for which God is raising up the house of prayer in the earth. And I'm not talking about just our version of it, but I'm talking about houses of prayer, many different styles and expressions of it, to contend as the first line of defense against a global satanic worship movement that we could sum up under this term called the abomination of desolation. And you're going to understand that term by the grace of God by the end of this session. The abomination of desolation is the primary sign that the great tribulation is beginning. It's the great sign. When it begins, the great tribulation begins. What is the abomination of desolation? Well, we'll look at the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 to 21. Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation," because the believers will see it. We will be here. We won't be raptured and taken away. We will be raptured at the end of the trouble and the great revival, at the time of the second coming. But the believing people of God on the earth, they will see the abomination of desolation with their eyes. And Jesus went on to say, when you see it, and he went on and said, it was spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now, four times Daniel referred to the abomination of desolation, and it's all in the notes that you have here. And those of you that want the notes, they're on the website, and you can get them right now. And we're only going to go through part of the notes tonight, and I'm going to leave you several pages just for your own personal study. But Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And then Matthew puts his own comments in parentheses. He goes, whoever reads this, let him understand. What he means is pay attention and exert some effort, because understanding of these things is very critical. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're exerting a little bit of effort to understand, because we've read the book of Daniel. And we understand the abomination of desolation, the book of Daniel. And we've read the writings of the New Testament. And we can put them together. It's not difficult. And I believe that after this simple, short teaching, you'll be able to put the key ideas together if this is a new concept. He goes, but when you see the abomination of desolation, which is a statue, it's an idol or a statue or an image of the Antichrist, when you see it in the Jerusalem temple, when you see it, and that's the centerpiece of the Antichrist satanic worship movement, because it's going to be placed in the temple in order to mobilize a demonic worship movement in the earth. That's the reason this idol or this image or this statue will be put in the temple. Because this statue will have a supernatural dimension, a demonic dimension to it. And it will inspire and it will mobilize hundreds of millions, possibly several billion people to worship Satan. The point of it is it's the centerpiece of a demonic worship movement. But Jesus said, when you see that abomination, that idol, standing in the holy place in the temple in Jerusalem, then here's what you should do. Verse 16. When you see it, verse 16, then run. Get out of town. And he's talking literally, flee. He's talking to the people who live in Judea, which is the region around the city of Jerusalem. He's talking to believers because unbelievers aren't reading the words of Jesus. I mean, a few might, but he's talking to the believing community. He goes, when this idol is put in the temple in Jerusalem, if you're in the area, leave, because the most dramatic 3.5 years of conflict is going to break out worldwide, but it will have its most intense expression of conflict and trouble in the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area, which is Judea. He says, it's so imperative that you flee immediately. Verse 17, this is not figurative. He means this. And there will be believers that will follow this exactly, because it will be a matter of life and death. He says, if you're on the housetop, meaning on the housetop, they would host hospitality and friends would come over, that kind of thing. It's talking about a social engagement on the housetop. Don't go down and pack your bag. Just take the outside staircase and go straight out and start running to the mountains. Don't go down and pack a bag. If you're in the midst of a dinner, a fellowship time with one of your friends. Verse 18, if you're work in the field, it doesn't have to be the field. If you're in the workplace, don't run home and pack a bag. Flee right from the workplace. Take right off right there. He goes on in verse 20. For there will be great tribulation, and that's where we get the term, the great tribulation. It's going to be a 3.5 year period. There's a final 7 year period of trouble, of tribulation, but the final 3.5 years is the intense part. Some call the whole 7 years tribulation, because there will be tribulation for the saints for 7 years, but the great tribulation is the intense part of it. That's the final 3.5 years. There'll be a great tribulation such as never been seen in the history of the world. And that tribulation will really have an intense expression in this around the city of Jerusalem or the area of Judea. Paragraph A, the abomination of desolations is a series. It's not just one event, but it's a series of evil or abominable events. It's evil events, events that cause, that are an abomination in God's eyes. That's why it's called the abomination. It's a series of events. And the result will be worldwide desolation, or you could use the word destruction. And so if you want to say it differently, it's abominable events. There's four major ones I'm going to highlight that are clustered together under the theme of the abomination of desolation. There's evil events that will lead to worldwide desolation. That's what it's talking about. It's abominable events that lead to worldwide destruction or desolation. That's what the abomination of desolation is. And the centerpiece of the abomination is an idol, a demonic statue, a demonically empowered statue in the Jerusalem temple that can speak. It appears to breathe. It appears to think on its own, to have a life of its own. And it will have supernatural powers. And it will be terrifying. The nations will pay attention and they will obey it. Many will. Now, when this takes place, and the saints, we will be here. And we're preparing ourselves for the greatest hour in history for the body of Christ. It is our greatest hour. It really is. It's the prayer movement's most powerful and most relevant time in history, because what the prayer movement is being raised up as the first line of defense against a satanic worship movement, because that's what Satan is after, is a worldwide worship movement. That's what the Antichrist is about. So when this takes place, it's the primary event that tells us the final 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, has begun. Now, Jesus prophesied that we would see it. And then Matthew adds, and it's important that you read about it and understand it, and that's why we're taking time to do this. Paragraph C, or 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Very significant passage where Paul describes the abomination of desolation. Now, he doesn't use the terminology, but he describes some of the key events with the implications. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, for the day, that day, the day of the rapture and the second coming of Christ, which are connected together, That day will not come unless the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, unless the Antichrist is revealed. The rapture will not come until after the Antichrist is revealed. It's very clear in Scripture. And he goes on to describe the Antichrist in verse 4. This is Paul by the Spirit of prophecy. He will oppose and he will exalt himself above everything associated with God. He will oppose and exalt himself above everything that's worshiped. Even the false religions, he will oppose them and he will overpower things related to the true God and even other religions. He will dominate, seek to dominate every single religious element on the planet. Even false religion will be outlawed and all will be demanded to worship only him. But here's what he's going to do. Very significant point of about the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist will sit as God in the temple. Now, this is talking about the Jerusalem temple. And he will show the world, or he will proclaim to the world that he is God. So Paul lets us know he will sit in the temple and he will declare himself to be God. Now, that's a critical part of the abomination of desolation. Now, this implies very clearly, along with about 7 or 8 other passages, that the temple in Jerusalem will have to be rebuilt. There's about 8 or 9, maybe 8 passages from Daniel and from the book of Revelation and from Jesus' teachings, as well as Paul, this passage here, that make it clear that in Jerusalem, the temple, at the Temple Mount, it will have to be rebuilt. That's a significant event, a sign of the times, because right now, the Jewish leadership, religious leadership in Israel, is trying to get that temple rebuilt. And it will be a significant political and religious explosion if it doesn't happen just right. And you know about that. I don't want to take time to talk about that. But it's my theory, and I think we have a biblical reason to think this, that the Antichrist will be key in bringing the peace in the Middle East in a way that allows the temple to be built in Jerusalem. Or possibly the temple will be built before the Antichrist in power. It's hard to say. Okay, Roman numeral 2. And again, if you need the notes, you can get the notes on the website right now. They're available. You can follow along with us. There are 4 main evil activities or abominable activities. Activities that are an abomination to God. And of course, you could develop it and maybe put a few more ideas or, you know, you could outline it differently. But there's 4. When I think of the subject, I think of 4 different activities under the headline of the abomination of desolation. Number one, the first one, the abomination of desolation begins when the Antichrist sits in the Jerusalem temple and he claims to be God. Well, the temple's not built yet, so we know it's not going to happen. Some people, you know, this is one reason we know the Lord's not coming any minute. The Lord's not coming until the Antichrist is revealed and he is defeated by the Lord at the coming of the Lord. And the end time prayer movement is victorious against the end time demonic Satan worship movement. Beloved, the prayer movement right now, the worship movement, the prayer movement, I use those interchangeably, is so significant. It's the major thing on Satan's agenda is to raise up this worship movement. That's the highest thing upon his mind. He wants a global worship movement and he wants to eliminate the Jewish race so they can't invite Jesus back as their Messiah. Those are the 2 primary things that I believe that are on his mind. So the first thing, he sits in the temple, he claims to be God. That is an abomination to God. God looks at that and he says, that's evil. That's an evil declaration. You're in the holy place, in the temple, and you're telling the nations that you're the true God. And that makes God angry, though God allows it. But he's angry. It's an abomination to him. Somebody might, the nations will be, you know, celebrating. Isn't this awesome? God will be angry that he did this. Very, very angry. Number 2, part of the number 2 evil activity or an abominable activity, the false prophet will tell the nations, he will tell the nations to make an image, but he's going to establish this image in the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to put the image in that temple. Now this image, again, will appear to talk and breathe and have life and have free thought. I mean, it will be the most unusual thing because it will be scrutinized by everyone, even the critics. And the critics, unbelievers, many of them will believe in him. I'm talking about unbelievers in Jesus. They are scientific minds. They will scrutinize it and conclude he is really breathing this statue. It is really breathing. And it is really talking on its own with free thinking. In other words, the appearance of real life has been supernaturally given to this statue. So the false prophet will tell those who dwell on the earth to make this image. And the primary image is in the city of Jerusalem in the temple. Number three, using the same verse, the false prophet is going to tell those who dwell on the earth. He's not only going to build an image, make an image for the Jerusalem temple. He's going to tell the local leaders across the earth. He's telling all the nations to make an image. So I believe this verse in Revelation 13:14 has two applications. An image is made, the primary one, for the temple, for the holy place in Jerusalem. It is set up or it stands in the Jerusalem temple. The Antichrist will stand in the Jerusalem temple, and the image will be set up in the Jerusalem temple, the holy place. Both of them will stand in that place. Because Jesus said, when you see the abomination standing in the holy place, it's the man, the Antichrist, and it's the supernaturally empowered demonic image that is standing in the holy place as well. But the third element, the third negative activity, is that the local leaders of the nations, this is my theory, but I believe it to be right. Obviously, I wouldn't be telling it to you. It doesn't say it exactly, but I think it makes it clear when you put a bunch of verses together that this is what is in fact happening. That the leaders, the local leaders of all the nations of the earth are told and commanded by the false prophet, and he will appear to be a very kind and winsome and powerful man who loves God and loves truth. And he will tell them to make an image. And, you know, the nations far away, they're not going to all the nations of the earth get on a plane and fly to Jerusalem and all work together, millions of them making one image. No, this has a local application in the nations of the earth. They will make a duplicate of this image. And I'm assuming that this image is going to be some kind of hologram, but at a higher level than we know right now. This may be 10, 20, 30 years from now, and the technology will be so developed. And I think that what will happen is that the primary image in Jerusalem, I believe there will be local Antichrist worship sanctuaries in all the local regions of the earth to which this image in Jerusalem is connected to these local Antichrist worship sanctuaries all over the earth. And each one of them will have their own local image that's a duplicate of the main one. And the way I understand it is it will be a combination of the cutting edge technology, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, maybe more from now, significant cutting edge technology, because there'll even be a demonic help in it. And there will be the combination of technology with demon activity, demonic power at a level we've never seen before. So it'll be technology and demons working together. And my assumption, it will be a hologram where the Antichrist will appear in a very vivid and convincing way in all of these worship sanctuaries. It'll be an image. My guess is it will look like him. I'm not sure that's true. My guess is it will sound like him. Not sure it's true, but I think that's a reasonable guess. Because it will cause them to worship the Antichrist when this image speaks. I don't believe it will only speak in Jerusalem. I believe this image will speak in every one of the local Antichrist worship sanctuaries. And in every one of those areas of the earth, there will be a house of prayer raising up, worshiping the real Christ. I tell you, it will be a point of contention. The prayer movement is, it's like, well, I really like music, and I really like God, but I really like music, and I really like to get, you know, kind of going for it and kind of getting in the groove and the flow and the, wow, the music's cool. You know, if the Lord's there, that's cool too, and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people that love music, a little bit more than they love Jesus, but they really love Jesus. And what I'm saying is, There's kind of the first round of the prayer movement in the last 10 years. Look around the earth. We need to be more into Jesus and the Holy Spirit than just the music. Because I tell you, music will not overpower this demonic demonic worship movement. Only the power of God, presence worship, the real power of God, of which flows from prophetic music. The Holy Spirit will flow on the wings of that prophetic music, a prophetic song. But of all things, you know, as I talk to other leaders around, I go, we want cool music. We want cool things. We want lots of cool everything. But we can't get lost in cool. Because cool won't deliver us. Because the abomination of desolations, the worldwide worship movement of Satan, will be established in the earth. And there's only one power that will contend against it in a 24-hour way, and that's the prayer movement in the earth. And this statue will be speaking and prophesying. But the body of Christ will be out worshiping. And I don't mean they'll have 24-hour, just like ours, but there'll be 24-hour structures in all kinds of different, diverse ways. You know, in prayer chains and prisons and just every manner of way that we can't even imagine. And we will be crying out his praise. And on the other side of town in these Antichrist worship centers, they will be crying out the praise of the Antichrist with a supernatural statue communicating the heartbeat of the Antichrist through technology and demons. But we have the real Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I think they're going to be in, there are several reasons I believe they'll be in every area of the world. Number one, the nations of the earth are told to make this image. And again, it's not like millions of people are all going to go to Jerusalem and all kind of pitch in together and all make it together. That's not what John was talking about. And it says in Revelation 9, verse 20 here, that one of the key elements of the end times, one of the key elements globally, we're talking about for the rest of mankind. We're not talking about a couple, you know, kind of places of the earth that are still entrenched in direct demon worship. We're talking about the whole world, the rest of mankind. They will make the work of their hands. They will make idols and they will worship demons when they make these idols. There is going to be a resurgence. There's going to be I hate to use the word revival, but a surging forth of idolatry at this time. And the nations of the earth, the rest of mankind, they will make these idols and worship demons and worship Satan. And so the idol industry is about to be grow significantly, but it will be attached to evil and wickedness. Well, the fourth thing that's an abomination, top of page 2. And again, we're not going to look at all the notes tonight. I'm going to leave you the last couple pages just to read on your own. It's a little bit technical, I mean, on just 2 or 3 points. But once you read through it a few times, you'll get it. It's really worth getting it because the scripture said, let him who reads understand these things. Take some time, exert some effort, understand these things. I tell you, beloved, on the other side, on the dark kingdom, this is the most significant event and it's a sign of the time. And the house of prayer movement, the worship movement, is the first line of defense that we're warring in terms of a global network against this false worship movement. We need to understand it's real. And as I understand it, it creates urgency in my spirit for us to get more in the Holy Spirit. Again, I like things cool and good, but I'm desperate for presence. I'm desperate for presence. And some folks are excited just if it's cool. And I'm saying that's not going to deliver us where we're going. It must have power in it. In all of our getting, we must get a deeper walk in the Spirit so we operate in power. Well, what's going to happen? The fourth thing that's an abomination is the false prophet will force or cause all the nations to worship the Antichrist. It says here in Revelation 13 that he, the false prophet, exercises all the authority of the Antichrist. He will cause the earth to worship the Antichrist. And he's going to cause the earth by making laws. And the laws will require everyone to join this worship movement and to attend their rallies. Undoubtedly, they'll be in the stadiums as well. And we're talking about hundreds of millions, several billion people that are buying into this worship movement, and they will gather to worship. The stadiums will be filled on the dark side as well at different times. We're going to see the stadiums filled on the side of truth as well. But the earth will be caused by legislation to worship the Antichrist. It says in Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Now, obviously, if you put a bunch of verses together, it doesn't mean every single human being, but there will be, every nation of the earth will have a representation of this evil worship movement. They will all be required by law. The laws will empower the wicked to kill the righteous if the righteous do not participate. The laws will be terrible. They'll be terrible. The laws will be an abomination to God too. I mean, I think of the laws in Nazi Germany. The laws made it legal, and people were rewarded for turning in Jews. They were rewarded financially and given promotions for keeping the law. And if anybody hit a Jew, it was against the law, and that person, a Gentile, they would go to prison and they would be killed. And those laws grieved God. Well, evil laws of this kind of extremity are going to be established in the earth again. And that's part of the abomination. The laws throughout all society with a reward system for turning in the righteous, a reward system for worshiping the devil. The laws will back it up. It's not just that the Antichrist will go in the temple. It's not just a talking image will be in Jerusalem. There'll be a global network, and then there'll be laws to back it up. These four things together will constitute the greatest abomination of all of human history. Nothing has ever happened like it in history, because it will cover the earth. And the depth of perversion and demonic power will be like no time in history. There is only one answer, and it's Jesus, but I'm going to say it differently. It's people connected to Jesus being a vessel, a vehicle to release his power into this age. I mean, Jesus has all the power right now. But he will only manifest his power into the natural realm through his people. So it's people connected to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to gain any more power than he has right now. But he's going to gain people that he's connected to. And they become available vessels. They walk in the Spirit. They live in the Spirit. And they become vessels to release his power to the natural realm. And that's what we need. I just feel a great urgency about this. And to think that here we are. Our lives are just thrown into the midst of a night and day worship and prayer movement. You know, we're in first grade. We're doing worship 101. And we're doing flow in the Spirit 101. And the Holy Spirit's going, good, good, keep going. I want you to go past 101. I want you to get college. I want you to get your PhD. I really want you to go forward. I want you to operate in power in a whole new realm. And as the years unfold. And this is what he's saying to the prayer movements across the earth. Well, there's going to be two sources of destruction. Because it's an abomination. I gave you four different activities that are abominable. Well, this abomination is going to lead to something. Destruction, global destruction. Or desolation. Destruction and desolation is the same concept. You could call it the abomination that leads to destruction. Or the abomination that leads to desolation. It's the same thing. There will be two different sources of the desolation. The one source, they're very different, is Jesus. And the second source is the anti-Jesus, the Antichrist, the anti-anointed one. Those will be the two that are releasing desolation because of the abominable acts. Jesus will release power on all the places that embrace this worship movement and the people. He will pour his judgments out and bring desolation to those that participate in the abominations. It's called the book of Revelation, the end time judgments. Those judgments are because the nations participate in the abominations. But then the other side is that the Antichrist will bring desolation. He will bring destruction to the people who resist his worship movement. Jesus prophesied about this in the same passage of the desolation of the abomination of desolations. Here in Matthew 24, verse 22, he said, unless those days were shortened. He's talking about the final 3.5 year period of which the abomination of desolation is operating. He said, if those days had not been shortened, no human beings would have been saved. He means delivered physically. He goes, nobody would physically make it. If that would have been a 3.5 decades instead of 3.5 years, there would be no survivors on the earth. That's what he means. But it's been shortened to 3.5 years. This will be the most difficult 3.5 years of desolation at any time in history. And again, it will be the body of Christ's most glorious hour. We'll operate in signs and wonders, power, the prophetic songs and oracles, the multiplying of food, supernatural deliverance, the appearing of angelic choirs. It will be, and those that do die, they will lose their life. They'll step right into the glory of God and receive a martyr's crown by the very hands of Jesus giving it to them. So there'll be no disappointed customers in the kingdom of God. Everybody in the kingdom of God will be a satisfied customer, no matter what station they have or what assignment they have in the end times. I tell you, if I go as a martyr, I step across the line, Jesus goes, "Mike! Oh, man, thank you. This is awesome. Wow." If I don't, then you see me in the air, "Mike! Oh, it's awesome. I love it." Either way, we win. We win, 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 win. Either way, we're in his arms with glory. Some people are just so nervous about what? Dying. You're going to die. I promise you, you're going to die. If you're not raptured, I mean, the whole human race has died. They're just, "Well, it's going to be terrible. We might die." No, you are going to die. No, you hear people say, "Well, you know, if, you know, someday if we die," I go, "No, not if. Not if. Unless you're there at the time of the rapture." Look what Isaiah says. This is terrifying. But it gives you the gravity and it gives you urgency for the prayer movement. It says, the Lord, Isaiah 24, verse 1 to 6, "The Lord makes the earth empty." He's talking about of people. "The land shall be entirely emptied. The inhabitants of the earth burned." It's talking about those who worship the Antichrist. "And few men will be left," relative. My guess is it will be a couple hundred million. But out of billions, the percentage will be quite small. I don't know that it'll be a couple hundred million, but maybe tens of millions, maybe 100 million. I don't know, but the few men will be left. The Lord himself will empty the earth. And he's talking about the tribulation time. It goes on in Isaiah 13, the same thing. It says, "The day of the Lord will come and to lay the land desolate." The land, the Lord will cause the land to be desolate. He's talking about the land of the people and the geographic areas that are strongholds of this abomination. "He will destroy sinners from the land. He will punish the earth. He will make a mortal more rare than fine gold on the earth." Humans will be more rare than gold on the earth. There's quite a bit of gold on the earth, just so you know. So there'll be some people around. So it's not like there'll be 10. There'll be, again, tens of millions or possibly a couple hundred million. But it will be a significant reduction of the population of the earth. And of course, a billion or two of them are raptured, and so their numbers are taken out that way at the time of the second coming. Paragraph B, the first source of the desolation, I've already said it, will be Jesus. It says in Revelation 6, when he opens the seals, Revelation 6, a fourth of the earth will die. That's Jesus opening the seals. Revelation 9:15, when he opens the seals in Revelation 9, I mean the trumpets, the sixth trumpet. When he allows that trumpet to be blown, a third of mankind dies. This is real. But when Jesus is releasing judgments, it's against those who are participating in the abominations. That's who the judgment is aimed at. Isaiah 66, the Lord will judge all flesh. Catch this. The slain of the Lord will be many. Jeremiah 25, the slain of the Lord will be from one end of the earth to the other. Now, I'm not excited about that, although I do know it creates the context for the power of God, the great harvest, the purified church, and the prayer movement to operate in the greatest manifest authority ever in history. But it's not a game. And of course, I know that you know that. It's not a game. It's not just kind of a cool thing. It will be life and death in eternally as well as physically. It will be so serious. And the fact that God has us on the fast track to grow in the spirit as worshipers and intercessors is a kindness to us beyond anything that we're grasping right now. 10, 20, 30 years from now, we'll look back in 2006, 7, 8, 9, and we'll say, "Wow! You harnessed me in then. I didn't even know any better. I just kind of thought it was cool to jump in. I didn't even know it was strategic." You'll have some years, not that you'll all be doing this particular expression of the house of prayer, but you'll be involved in it wherever you are in the earth where the Lord sends you back. And you'll be saying to the Lord, "Thank you that you established me and that you trained me in this. You know, I joined it just because I loved you and I thought it'd be kind of neat to do it. I didn't realize it was the significant first line of defense for the end of the age battle." And it's wonderful too. It is beautiful. Our spirits are touched. And it's really cool as well. We don't have to pick between one or the other. We can have it all. Paragraph C. The Antichrist will also bring desolation. But it's to the people that are resisting him. He will use, paragraph C, his unprecedented political power, military power, economic power. He will use it against the people that refuse to worship him. He will cause as many, this is the false prophet, who won't worship the Antichrist to be killed. But he's under the Antichrist's authority. The son of, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, the son of man, who's the Antichrist, is also called the son of perdition. He's called the son of destruction. The Antichrist's title is the son of perdition. That means he causes destruction, and then at the lake of fire, he goes to destruction. He causes it first, and then he goes to it in eternal way. He causes natural destruction by venting his rage against the people who resist him. He causes spiritual destruction by deceiving the nations to worship him and they go to hell because of his influence. Of course, they chose it. And then he ends up in hell as well. So in those three ways, he's the son of perdition, the son of destruction. In Daniel 9, verse 27, the Antichrist is called the one who makes desolation for the earth. He's the one that causes people to experience desolation physically because he goes after them in his judgment. And again, by deceiving people and they worship him, they become partakers of desolation, the judgment of God. Let's go to the top of page 3. The abomination of desolation. There's two main features in the abomination of desolation. The image of the beast, the statue, because it's the statue placed in the Jerusalem temple. And then I believe the global network of statues in every place of the earth, because it says all the nations will worship. And it doesn't mean every person of every nation. It means that every geographic place, every nation will have a worship center that is loyal to the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is trying, it's the counterfeit of preaching the gospel to all nations. And just so much of this is the counterfeit. He has a counterfeit prophetic movement, a counterfeit worship movement, a counterfeit Great Commission. He has a counterfeit everything, but he loses on every one of them. And the body of Christ wins under Jesus' leadership. Paragraph 8, now the image of the beast is one of the most significant themes in the end times. It is mentioned 10 times in the book of Revelation. I mean, the book of Revelation, if you get a sentence in the book of Revelation, I mean, not you, but if an idea gets a sentence, it's really a priority in the end times to the Lord. One sentence is the book of Revelation means pay attention. This is one of the big trends that's going to happen. Beloved, the image of the beast is emphasized 10 times. 10 times this is spoken of because of its prominence. And God will allow this because he wants the true worship movement to be strengthened by exercising its muscles against the false worship movement. That's where the true worship movement will be purified and focused and refined and enter into the full walk in the Spirit by resisting this adversary. Well, the abomination of desolation will involve many convincing miracles. I have one of the most important verses, or ones that says it clearly here in 2 Thessalonians 2. It says that the coming of the Antichrist will be in accordance with the working of Satan. He will have all power, signs and lying wonders. He will have many false miracles. Jesus said it himself, that false prophets and false Christs will arise with great signs, great wonders, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. It didn't say the elect would be deceived, but if the elect are not paying attention, they can be deceived. But beloved, if we're focused on the Word, we're in fellowship with each other, we're living with a clean conscience, and we're involved in the prayer movement, I tell you, we're not going to be deceived. It's possible for the elect, but they don't have to be deceived. They'll just get in the way of this thing, in the way of the truth, in the way of life. Paragraph C. The image of the beast and the mark of the beast are two of the most significant components related to the abomination of desolation. Because the image of the beast is what makes this abomination spread globally. The mark of the beast is what makes this abomination spread globally by penalizing the people economically who don't participate in it and by rewarding those who do operate in it. So the image of the beast gives a local outlet, the global network of this worship movement, and the mark of the beast is the financial structure to support this worship movement, because the people that worship are rewarded with the flow of finances. Those that refuse to worship the Antichrist, they are penalized. Of course, Jesus will multiply our food. He will cause water to flow from a rock. He'll give supernatural direction. And so we won't be dependent upon the Antichrist funding our lives by his goodwill of his legislation. The Lord will take care of his people. Paragraph E. The Antichrist is going to combine the technology with supernatural demonic elements, causing the image to breathe. I mean, this image, I mean, the primary one, and possibly the local ones all over the earth, because they'll all be connected some way. But this, surely the primary one, will breathe and speak. And people will say, well, now what will he say when he speaks? Well, it's clear in Revelation, he will make the laws that require that the resistors of the Antichrist, those that resist the worship movement, he will make the laws that will empower the sons of darkness to kill us. I mean, here's this image talking from God, so they think. And there's this supernatural power and this false anointing. And they're waiting with a bated breath. What is the image going to say? And he said, here's the law. Kill the people who don't worship. You know, I'm sure it would be a little different than that. But the idea, he will utter these oracles, these occult oracles, and the people will write them down and the laws will be put in place right like that. He'll make many laws, not just one or two. There'll probably be an entire code of laws against the saints. They will say, man, this is inspired stuff. It's coming right from a divine source. The occult oracles of this image that has supernatural power that breathes and talks. Beloved, these laws will be intense because they will empower all the local authorities and they will empower the conscience of the wicked that this is really right in God to kill the saints. This is a huge thing that this talking image makes laws. The implications are vast in terms of the world quickly buying into the laws. There'll be no democratic processes. You know, it takes 5 years to get a law established. It won't. When this image speaks it will be, by the end of the day, it will be law. And then the people will be emboldened all over the earth to believe the law was of God. I think he's going to do more than that. It says in paragraph G, I think that these local images that are all connected together, I think the image is going to prophesy to people. I think they'll go and they'll do their worship thing and the image will speak, the counterfeit prophet movement. And they'll tell them, you had a dream last night, this talking image, you know, in their local area. I did have a dream, and this is what the dream was. And it was just right. You must be of God. They'll talk about, you know, Uncle So-and-so who died, like a seance, where demons imitate Uncle So-and-so, and they imitate his voice. Uncle So-and-so didn't come back. It's a demon mimicking that dead family member's voice. And this image will talk and relate private incidences of members of the family or friends that have died, and the people will say, how could you have known that private information? It'll all be demonic and occult. This image, I believe, will speak more than just to make laws. I believe they will speak into the personal issues. Well, we're going to end with that. We have several more, about three more pages of notes, but they are meant to just fuel your personal study on this. Let's stand before the Lord. We're going to take a few minutes in worship. The abomination of desolation, this is such a significant thing that is being raised up in the earth. I mean, the groundwork is right now being raised up by the occult is growing.